Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He was that night, and he has been for a lot of this year. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494 gets you aboard. The great Joel Embiid debate. And, of course, tonight, the MVP likely on the line. We actually heard it a few minutes ago. We heard the commercial. Spike Eskin was voicing it, talking about how tonight is the night to decide the MVP. Let's bring him on now. Our farmer, brand manager, I don't know what everyone's called these days, program director here at WIP now.
The man. I just called him the man.
And, of course, writes to Ricky Sanchez with us right now. Hey, Spike.
What an honor to be on the best show on WIP right now.
Can we cut that audio? Just grab that one, Kyle.
Spike, stirring the pot a little bit. So, Spike, I'm curious because you're a Joel Embiid fan from what I've been told. How did you feel about him coming out there and saying he was tired?
Wait, oh, today did he say he was tired? Was it in that the interview with Shams?
I think this was from the Inquirer on Saturday night after the game. After the game to the Suns.
Oh, yeah, well, he looked tired. he's so sort of emo and honest, and always has been.
Emo, that's emotional, right? That's what the kids say. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, like you can tell when he's sad, and you can tell when he's frustrated, and you can tell when he's excited. And on one hand, it makes me like him better, right? Because it makes him feel like a person that I would know, right? Mm-hmm. An emotional person. But on the other hand, I kind of just want you to go out and put your head down and – if you're tired, push through it and don't say it afterwards. Like I you're going to be tired during the playoffs, right?
That's eventually all I'm saying. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually it's going to be every other night and you're going to have to play 40 minutes and tired isn't going to be a good excuse because everybody's going to be tired. So sometimes I'm glad that he's honest, but other times it's probably better if he kept it to himself.
So why is Embiid the MVP right now? I'm sure you think he is. He's the favorite, and I think he'd win it if the season ended today. Why for you is he the favorite?
I think it's pretty easy, actually. I think he's pretty easily the MVP, and I don't think you have to qualify it by saying, you know, it's between him and Jokic and Giannis, and obviously all three of them are good players, and you don't have to say that every time you talk about it. But to me, to be an MVP, your team has to be a championship contender, which they are. They're one of the elite teams in the league. You have to be the best player on your team, which he is, and all three guys match that. But the difference with Embiid is, like, when you talk about what valuable means, what does valuable mean? Not just great, but valuable as well. So Joel Embiid is the Sixers' best player on offense, and he is their best player on defense. Like, to be straight, he's probably the only player in the NBA that is like that. I suppose you could make an argument that Giannis is, but the favorite for defensive player on the year is actually playing right next to Giannis, and that's Brook Lopez. And Embiid doesn't have that luxury, right? So he's the best player on offense, and he's the best player on defense. They have a top five offense, and they have a top five defense. And you can't let the defense part be forgotten in this because he's a center. And you can go through the history of the NBA, and nobody's winning a championship without a good defensive player at center, especially now. And that's obviously where Jokic slips, who's a fantastic offensive player, but is a detriment on defense, whereas the entire Sixers top five defense is based around Embiid, and their entire top five offense is based around Embiid. And then I think the final thing that he has put together this year that he didn't have in other years. In other years, you could say in the last 5 minutes of a game, you might be worried about giving it to Embiid. He might turn it over. He'll get frustrated and try to draw a foul and not get it. But that clutch thing that you just never see with a big man, it's never. You never see it, especially now in the NBA, in the last 5 minutes of a game, if you need a bucket, give it to the 7'2", 275-pound guy facing up 15 feet away from the basket and get you on. And he's hit threes, and he's hit jumpers, and he's drawn fouls, and he's made great passes. I just think that he has put it all together this year, and I would love to see him finish off the season with a strong 10 games and just you know, make sure that he gets it. But I actually don't even think it's particularly close.
So I guess it's safe to say, in your opinion, tonight is a game that, like, it's Joel Embiid's to lose the MVP tonight, correct?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, when it's this close and the odds have gotten pretty tight again, you go in and Jokic gets the best of you, and that's the last everybody remembers, right? But I think if he comes in tonight and has a strong performance tonight, I would love to see them win. But if he has a strong performance tonight, I think he can lock up the MVP tonight.
We're talking to Spike Escanier about Joel Embiid, the NBA MVP discussion, the Sixers and the Nuggets tonight. All right, Spike, the other layer to our conversation today, and I'm curious what you feel on this, because, you know, it's been like a roller coaster with Joel Embiid over the years. Obviously a great player, and maybe now the MVP of the league. But when I say to you, is Joel Embiid a championship player? What are you feeling?
He's not a championship player until he's a championship player. Right? I mean, like, it was the same with Dirk, and it was the same with Giannis, and it was the same with LeBron, and any time you get to the elite level, and it's the same thing with James Harden right now, right? Mm-hmm. And until the guy's a Hall of Famer, he's probably one of the 50 best players of all time, but every year of Joel Embiid's career, every year, and you can say this is his fault or is not his fault, but he hasn't been healthy enough to be dominant in any playoffs thus far. And you could look at that two ways. You could say, like, well, that's not his fault, right? It's not his fault that he broke his face, and it's not his fault that, you know, he got sick and all these things. But to be a championship player, you have to find a way through those things, if it's possible. And to be a championship player, when it counts the most, you have to be there. And that's one thing you have to give Giannis. But when he goes down, he's going down in the playoffs, goes down scoring 38 with 15 rebounds and 8 assists. And, you know, Joel is now, what, is he 29, 30, whatever he is? Mm-hmm. At this point, now's the time. You know, now's the time to prove you're a championship player. I'm not going to give it to him and say he is until he is. I still believe he can be. I still believe I'm going to leave the door open, but he has not shown that thus far in his career.
He has not yet. All right, Spike, let's end on this. Ben Simmons, it looks like he has done for the season now with the Nets. Just go ahead. I'll just say it and you talk. Ben Simmons, when I say that, what are you thinking?
I just mean, like... I tried to tell everybody. I did the radio show with you, and we argued with people about it, about the Ben Simmons thing.
People were so mad. I mean, they were just – Hugh, you think some people have been frustrated today with us saying that, you know, Joel's not a championship player. People here just – I don't know how to say it. They were just – they believed Ben was going to just turn everything around.
I like the fact that basketball fans ride for their players, though. They really, really
yeah,
are
that's true.
In the paint. They really
– Man, Hugh, you weren't here for it, though. It was dumb. I mean, it was like – You can't argue it's basketball. The point, I always said this about Ben Simmons, Hugh. This was always my thing about Ben Simmons. If, Hugh, you walked into an empty gym and there was a basketball on the floor, the first thing you would do would be pick up that basketball and shoot it. It's literally the last thing Ben Simmons would do. and you that there's something wrong with that. A lot of people in Philly got brainwashed by hope, right? You hoped that they would find a way to work it out. But if it was ever going to work, it was never going to work with Joel. And we talk about getting better. You know, Embiid has gotten better every season. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons literally didn't get better at anything from his rookie year. He was great as a rookie, absolutely great as a rookie. Didn't improve his handle, didn't improve his shooting, didn't improve, like, nothing did he improve. It's kind of sad, you know? It's sad that it's come to this, and you wonder, a guy at 25 or 26 years old, that the peak of his profession is now over. And I think it's entirely realistic to think that he never plays in the NBA again.
Wow, I think you're right. I think there's a real chance. I mean, it's basically been years now. I mean, like, just years since he played. I mean, really, it was Game 7 against the Hawks the last time it felt like he was actually, like, a lead player.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's been forever. Spike, we appreciate you hopping on. Thank you for participating in the great MVP debate. And Howard Eskin's coming on in about 20 minutes. So I'm sure you'll be locked
Jesus.
And listening to hear what he has to say
now. If I had known that was going to happen, I wouldn't have participated.
Well, that's why we didn't tell you. That's why we didn't tell you. Thank you, Spike.
All right, guys.
There we go. Spike Eskin, brand manager up at WFA New York, first Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. And I'm sure Kyle has it. The best show on the station?
Yes.
Yeah.
Best show on WIP.
Yeah,
I'll pull it up.
Make sure we have that.
Yeah. See, yes. Yeah. I feel like that's going
to be an honor to be on the best show on WIP.
Let's make sure we play that before the guys come on at 2 o'clock. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. So, Hugh, that was interesting. A couple things from Spike that were interesting. One, he thinks it's not even close. Joel is the MVP, but he's with us. He doesn't consider Joel a championship player yet.
Well, you got to win one. I mean, but you know, for the sake of the show, you have to, you know, you have to understand.
It's a feeling.
What you're at. Yeah. I think that he can be one. Like you said, he left the door open. And I think it all starts for him with this whole MVP thing. So hopefully if this MVP thing goes the way that we need it to go, then he can catapult himself into that championship.
Yeah.
Status.
The other thing he said, which is absolutely true, and we've seen it here. Hugh, you noticed that maybe 3 weeks ago watching the game, and you mentioned on the show, Joel wears his emotions on his sleeves. That's part of the reason why I was upset when I saw him say he was tired. You know why? Because when he's tired, he plays tired. Right? It's one thing to have a bad day. It's one thing to be upset, frustrated with the ref, frustrated with whatever. But when you wear your when you're a player that wears their emotions on their sleeves, Hugh, it's tough because when you're not having a good day, you wear that. Everyone sees it.
And it leaves you open for interpretation, which I acknowledge that it's not always fair. It's not always fair. But that's what we do. As fans, that's what we do. We try to interpret how this player is feeling or what he's going through or whatever. And that's what happens when you make that kind of money and everything is heaped upon you. You know, when you take these jobs, man, and you play these professional sports, every criticism that we lay at the feet of these players, most of the time it isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we do as fans. That's what we do as pundits. We talk about these players, and it's not a fair assessment, but that's the job.
Yeah.
And you take that job, you take everything that comes along with it.
And for the guys that do reach the heights, that's why. I mean, they push past their peers. They reach those heights. Robert's in Germantown. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. Great show. Been listening for a while.
Thank you, Robert. We appreciate you, buddy.
No. It stays the Let's Bash Joel Embiid show, I guess.
Well, it's the gut feeling on Joel Embiid show. That's what it is. I'll call it that.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with you. While I was listening last hour or two, I looked at his bio. And, you know, I've always said this about Embiid for years, compare his background to, say, Giannis. I mean, Giannis is basically this homeless immigrant guy being abused in Greece, playing on the streets, struggling and struggling. Compare him to Jimmy Butler or LeBron James. You compare Embiid, he's soft, man. He was from an elite family in Cameroon. He had a nice, comfy life. And that's how I see his game. He's a marshmallow out there, and that's just not championship quality. I'd rather have Jimmy Butler any day of the week, although Embiid is a far more gifted athlete. When you look at Butler's bio, this guy wasn't a great athlete at all as a young guy. He had to work hard. He had to struggle. I wouldn't call LeBron, in all honesty, and I've seen some great athletes in New York City, a particularly elegant basketball player, graceful. He's more like a tight end who can play football.
Yeah, it's more like brute strength. Yeah, that's the way
brute
he plays.
Strength.
Yeah.
I mean, he's smart. He's got a brilliant basketball IQ and all that. But it's the work ethic of all the guys you've mentioned. We go down the line, Kobe. And that's the problem with Simmons, too. Simmons had, again, the guy was a cream puff. He didn't even work on his game. He didn't put any effort to even shoot free throws. I mean, who gets out of high school or basketball summer camps not knowing how to shoot a free throw?
Yeah, Robert, it's almost impossible. I mean, you think it's impossible, but Robert's a good point. We appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, what he's hitting on there is it's the mental aspect. Like these guys are all great players.
Yeah, but it's your why. You know, I remember talking to Travis Link a while ago. He used to be the GM with the Golden State Warriors, and he said the biggest thing when you vet these kids, you try to figure out their why and what drives them. And that's where he tries to pick the players that he picks. You know, you're talking about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Draymond Green was in that group too.
Driven
guys. Yeah, you got to figure out their why, man. And it's unfortunate that for Ben Simmons, it looked like he didn't have motivation when he was in college. I go back to that A&M game when they were playing A&M, LSU and A&M in the tournament a few years ago. And I remember he just quit. He was going to still be a high draft pick, no question about it, but he didn't play. And that was the one thing that I remember about him. And somebody in the NBA was hoping that was going, you know,
yeah,
that he was going to be able to play. And it just made him more who he was. And now you're talking about a guy who's got a ton of money. He's probably never going to play basketball again, but he's going to get all his money.
Yeah, it's remarkable, the story of Ben Simmons. I mean, he was compared to Magic Johnson. Like, he was supposed to be
an all-time
great player. And, I mean, he might be done. He just might never play basketball again. It's crazy. The mentality. And, obviously, Joel Embiid's not that. Joel Embiid is a great player. He could win the MVP. Tonight he could sew up an MVP. But the debate we're having, his mentality, is he a championship player? And I have major questions that he is. Dave's in Northfield. Hey, Dave.
The Dave.
Hey.
What's up, Dave?
I just want to say, great show. You guys are the best show now on the station.
Well, let's keep this going. I like this. Now, Dave, we appreciate it, buddy. What's on your mind today? What are you feeling?
I've been watching basketball since 1967. And I got to tell you, Embiid is a championship player. What makes a championship player is someone that can motivate and drive the players around them as well as being the best. And he just has to win. And that'll seal it. That'll prove it.
Well,
He has to do it.
The other thing is, I think all this talk about, you know, how they select the MVP, you got to look at the compilation of the whole year. It's too soon. You know?
Well, we're almost there, right? We've got, what, 7 games to go? I mean, we're close to the end.
But those last 7 games can make a big difference. And the best example of that, when I was a kid, one of the first games I ever saw in person was my father took me to see 2 games. One was the New York Knicks against the 76ers in the late 60s, and I saw Wilt Chamberlain before he went out to L.A., and I also saw the Nets with Dr. J. And what I learned is that champions not only lead their team, they find a way to win. Like, Chamberlain was probably the greatest player ever, but how many championships did he get?
Well, and that was it, right? That was the whole thing. Russell got the titles, Chamberlain got the stats, and they were different kind of players. Dave, we preached a phone call. So Dave's a believer and thinks Joel is. As far as his point that you got to wait till the end of the season with the MVP stuff, I think tonight's the night. Like, if Joel plays well and they win, Hugh, I think
he wins it. Should be a lock tonight. I mean, that's what you're hoping for. Because I think for him, this is the first step in his evolution, to be totally honest. I think this is the first step in his evolution, and now – you know, you get that MVP, you get that monkey off your back, then you can go ahead and get ready to run, make this championship run.
Yeah.
You might get rejuvenated and re-energized after he wins the MVP.
Well, if we base it on last year, I mean, he was despondent. He was sad. I mean, he moped around the court in Miami the night he didn't win. So, you could be right on that. Like, he gets the trophy before a big playoff game, and he goes out there and
pulling for him.
Well, we all are, because that's just good for the Sixers. Kev's in South Philly. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I wanted to touch on your comments about, is he a championship player? And I have to agree that I don't think he quite is, and it's because of his lack of maturity. You know, what really broke me for him after re-buying into the Sixers and that process and that whole debacle that it became was after last year we lose to the Heat. He's at the podium throwing everyone under the bus. And it just seems like, I don't know, will he ever mature? I mean, he's one of the best players I've ever watched. You know, for his size, what he can do, it's remarkable.
But yeah, I would say this about it, Kevin, and I feel very similar to you. I feel like his game has matured. You know, Spike was mentioning how he's different now late in games. I almost, when he made that shot against the Blazers, it reminded me of Dirk Nowitzki. Like, he's evolved as a player, but that inside, right, in his head, the maturity stuff, I don't feel like it's there yet. Like, I feel like that part is, we're still waiting on that.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I always want to see is him, I want the fire out of him to get everybody else around him and rally the troops and, like, go bash that, like, through the wall. And, you know, this team could win. I mean, they could. Will they? I don't know. I'm with the majority of people. Will they get out of the second round? And if so, then I'll believe a little more. Like, you know, it's like dangling the horse or the carrot in front of the horse. It's tough. But, Hugh, it's great to hear you. You two together are one of the best things I've heard on this radio station in a long time. And this is the first time I ever called. Thank you for giving me your time, guys, and you have a great day.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man. Call again. Yeah, I mean,
that, you just got to figure out how to quit making people so mad at us.
Listen, sometimes the truth hurts. That's what happens.
Hey, I'm almost scared to go to the grocery store today. You got a lot of nerve.
You'll be fine.
You and that Joe Giglio with those takes you had on here today.
Just blame it on me. No, it's all him. I'm telling you, it's all him. Brian's in Woodbury. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
First What's going caller. On, man?
Yeah, I love you guys on the radio. And, Hugh, I'm glad you're back in Philly, man.
Appreciate you.
For good for a long time.
Appreciate you.
I just want to talk about Embiid. I couldn't agree with you guys more. I agree with you 100%. The fact that he would come out and say something like that, knowing he's playing in the market that he's playing at, I mean, he should know that as fans, we're going to have a problem with him saying he's tired. I mean, this is a blue collar town where people go to work every day and they don't want to hear that an NBA player who's making millions and millions of dollars is tired. I think it's just crazy that he would even say that.
I know, and Brian, it just feels to me like a red flag. Like, all right, you're tired because you've played your butt off and you've played a lot of minutes, you've played hard and you're the MVP favorite, but like, are you running out of gas before the biggest games? That's what I think of when I hear it too.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I argue all the time with people that, I mean, I acknowledge that Embiid's a great player. I don't personally think he's got the killer instinct at all. I think he's shown that over the years. But I want to go back to something that Hugh said in the beginning that, you know, I was raised that, you know, you got to work to get what you want. I mean, I think that the fact that he's not willing to put the work in, I mean, he should be willing to put the work in, just like Hugh said at the beginning of the show. And I had one question to Hugh if I could get in real quick.
Go ahead.
Hugh, do you think that players nowadays, they actually agree with, like, what you said in the beginning about how you think that, you know, like, as a player, like, you should expect to train your body and prepare and all that? Like, do you think that players around the league actually think the same way like you do nowadays?
I don't know. I mean, because, you know, I've always found it fascinating, especially talking to basketball fans. I found it fascinating how, like, it's quick. They're quick to make excuses, and that's not being disrespectful to anybody that has called in and has defended Joel Embiid. But I was brought up in the school of thought that, you know, if you're out there hurt, if you're playing and you're hurt, that's not an excuse that you can readily use.
Right.
If you're out there and you're tired, that's your fault. I played in an era where my coach, I used to be out there, hey, coach, the guys hold me. Hey, Hugh, that's your fault. Get his hands off of you. So that's where I come from. There are no excuses that are worthy enough when you're out there playing as a professional athlete, in my humble opinion. Now, it's obvious that a lot of basketball fans don't feel that way. And it might be fans like that of other teams that feel that way. I just don't – I can't wrap my mind around that. I really can't.
I agree with you completely. I was raised the same way. My dad would work 12 hours a day in the restaurant business, and he would – I mean, every day he would go to work just so that he could give us, like, as kids what we wanted. I agree with you completely.
And you know what? I understand we live in an era now where, you know, that is not healthy and it's been acknowledged and people, you know, work themselves to death. I get that and I respect that. But when you're playing sports for a living, then that to me is not like that. It's not like you're working, you know, in construction or anything like that. It's a sport. It's something that you've grown up loving to do. And
I wish I could make money and play sports. Like I would love to. Pay me to work out. I'll work out. You know,
work
I try
my
to work
butt
out
off.
Now. And I'm not getting. I work out now, and I'm not getting paid to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And Brian, you're right, man. We appreciate you listening. Yeah, I referenced a couple weeks ago that shirt that Lamar Jackson wore at the podium a few years ago. Nobody cares. Work harder. I mean, that's it.
That's the bottom line, man. Nobody cares. If you're everybody's tired, everybody's doing the same thing that you're doing, but you're the only one complaining about it. I don't understand that. Again, not trying to pick on anybody who came in and said it wasn't fair or anything like that. I just didn't grow up like that.
Yeah, and the worry is it's a glimpse into what he's thinking, and it's a glimpse in his mentality. And then
whether that's fair or not, that leaves you open for all types of criticism.
That's the way it works. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in as we debate whether or not Joel Embiid is a championship player. We know he's an MVP candidate. And look, we talked to one Eskin. Don't go anywhere. We got the other ones. The other one coming up here. We're going to hear from another Eskin. You know which one we're talking about.
Five Sixers.
What does he think about the MVP race? And would he classify Joel as a championship player? That's next, right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let me tell you, my friends over at FanDuel, the tournament's heating up. Yeah, we're down to four, and there's no better place to get on the action than FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. That's right now, FanDuel's giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to points versus which team will be cutting down the net. I already invested in Connecticut. I'm in. I got them 35-1, so I'll just hang on to that and hope. All in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. I really like the FanDuel app, so don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Go to FanDuel.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's right, riding with the king on a Monday. Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. We figured if we're doing an MVP debate today, we got to bring on the king, Howard Eskin. And we got a couple things thrown at him. He's at the owners' meetings out in Phoenix. But, Howard, I just want to start with this. We had someone you know on pretty well about a half hour ago, and your son said it's not even close. It's not even a question.
It's all about Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is the MVP. What would you say to that?
I'd say he's a kiss ass. That's what he is, because Joel Embiid speaks to him. I speak to Joel Embiid. He knows I bust his chops, but that's not what it's about. Hey, this year, Joel Embiid's going to win the MVP. What is that? I mean, aren't championships more important than MVP awards? I mean, this nonsense. Everybody's worried about him winning the MVP. So what? So he can score points. so what? And I'm going to say this, and it'll obviously get everybody all cranked up again. Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP. Okay, fine. You know, I'm happy for him. But is he the best all-around player compared to Jokic? And the answer is no. Can he score points? Yeah, in the NBA, everybody scores points. The NBA is a complete farce. It's a joke. There is no defense. That's why he played against Golden State and Phoenix, because he knows he can score points against those teams. But it's not about scoring points. Against Boston, he's going to average 35 a game against Boston in the playoffs. And you know what? They're going to shut everybody else down, and the Sixers are going to lose. So but he's the MVP. But Jokic is a better all-around player. Better passer, better rebounder. Is he a better scorer? If he wanted to be, but that's not what he cares about. But give it to Joel Embiid. Make everybody happy. Make Joel happy. He'll win an award. That'll go on his, you know, that'll go on something somewhere. The player that won an MVP and never won a championship. So, whatever.
So how did you feel about him coming out and saying he was tired the other night?
Who, Joel Embiid?
Yes. Yeah, after the Suns game, when he didn't play well, he said he's tired.
I'm tired.
He's always a woe-is-me guy. He always has something. Oh, I'm just trying to help the team, but I'm trying to do this. Yeah, it's all kinds of drama with Joel Embiid. Is he a terrific ball player? Absolutely, positively. He's very talented. But I don't want to hear all that whining. I mean, I'll get you some cheese, Joel, to put with that wine. I don't want to hear it anymore. He was tired. Well, that's because he can't play three games in four nights, and that's kind of what it is. But he wanted to score his points, and he thought he could get it against Golden State. I don't want to hear it. Just move on. Hey, listen, I got to do a better job, which a lot of guys say, but don't tell me you were tired. Excuses are made for losers, not for winners, for losers. And you would know this better than anybody. You don't want to hear excuses out of teammates when they don't play well. Just move on and do a better job the next time. And for whatever reason, he can't play three games in four nights. You can't do it. And then when you got to give all the minutes, how many minutes did he play? What did he play, like 38 minutes against Golden State on Friday night? Can't do that. I mean, he scored 46 points. That's what mattered. So, hey, whatever. I mean, people are going to jump on me because I didn't think he was the MVP the last 2 years, and he was not. And this year, he's going to be the MVP because there's been such a push for it, and he's scoring all these points. That's not what an MVP is to me, the way I look at it. But if that's the way people want to look at it, that's fine.
Howard, we'd all agree that he's a great player. We all agree he's either going to win it or he's going to finish second. He's an MVP candidate. But let me ask you it this way, because I think this is what really matters deep down. When you watch Joel Embiid, do you think he is a championship player?
No, I don't. And for multiple, I don't think he's a leader. And I don't think he does all the things. A championship player does what the coach wants him to do, whether the coach is right or the coach is wrong. And he does what he wants to do. You know, I don't want to. Okay, he can shoot threes. Great. And knock yourself out. But he's better off in the post. He's better off down low. He's not a rebounder. He'll get his 10 rebounds because he's 7'2". But I don't think he's a leader. And you need a leader to be a champion. That's just not what he is. That's just not what he is. He's not a leader. He's out there to do one thing. Do the guys like him? Yeah, I'm sure they do. As a matter of fact, I know they do. But that doesn't make you a leader. No, I do not think he's a championship player. And I think it's going to be hard. Now, it's not all his fault. If they had a better backcourt, I'm not a Harden guy either. James Harden's not a team guy either. It's unbelievable. You know, after the Miami game when they lost at home, he got a private plane and he and PJ Tucker went to Miami a day early just so they could have a good time. What the hell is that about? Because they played Miami on that Wednesday. What the hell is that about? I don't get it.
Nobody can do anything anymore. I talked to one of the coaches here about players that do their own thing. And the coach says, well, I find guys, but you can only find them so much. In the NBA, they don't find guys. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's a player-run league for sure. All right, Howard, before we end our conversation, tell us what's on the docket out there. You're at the NFL owners' meetings. We know Sirianni's going to talk tomorrow. So give us a feeling on the next 2 days, next 3 days, what it's going to be like out there.
Okay, well, here's first of all, let me tell you that Jonathan Gannon passed along his best to all those guys that wanted him fired as the Eagles coach. So he said to say hello to everybody.
What's up, Bird Gang?
Hey, Bird Gang. Happy Monday. Happy Wednesday. Happy Tuesday. But Howie Roseman's going to speak this afternoon. You know, I'm 3 hours earlier out here. He's going to speak this afternoon in our world. So he speaks today. Jeffrey Lurie's going to speak tomorrow. Nick Sirianni tomorrow morning. I don't know what he can say, but I finally found out what's been driving me crazy, and I found out last week, and I can confirm it with Mick, but I know it's already true. The timeout in that Super Bowl early in the third quarter has been driving me nuts, because if they didn't call that timeout after a challenge and they didn't even run an offensive play, they have 50 seconds left at the end of the game.
Right.
Yeah. So it was. So I found out, but I'll confirm it tomorrow. I'll find a way to confirm, but I already know what happened. And at some point, I will relay it to all you guys and everybody else on what happened and why they had to call a timeout. But so those guys speak in the next few days. I had a chance to talk to Andy Reid this morning. Actually, all the guys. There were seven. The AFC coaches spoke today. Seven ex-Eagles were in that room.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing. It's because D'Amico Ryans is a new one. Shane Steichen's a new one. And tomorrow, Jonathan Gannon is a new one. The NFC guys speak tomorrow. But I also spoke to Peter King, and I'm going to post it this afternoon.
Is he going to be okay? Because he was upset about the
two. He was hot.
We talked about the bastardization of the
rules. That was a really strong take.
Well, talked to Peter, and I'm going to post it on Twitter this afternoon. But he gives the Eagles credit, but he can't stand it. It's a bastardization of the rules.
It's a bastardization of the rules.
That was a really strong take, though. That was a super strong take.
It's so funny. I said, Peter, as soon as I saw him this morning, I got to talk to you. He says, all right, give me about 10 minutes. I says, I got to talk to you about the bastardization of the rules. So, but he took it aside, but he was serious. He was serious. So, and that rule's not going to come up. You know, I was actually talking to Jeffrey Lurie a little while ago, and one of their proposals is to have zero, as in, I never realized that was a rule that you couldn't have a zero. He says, I'm surprised we didn't make zero and double zero. Now he wants double zero, too. So, whatever. But there'll be some, I don't know how many serious rule changes they're going to make. I mean, how many things you can do. But those are the things that are coming up. But for me, what's really great for me is I get to talk to a lot of these guys that I know, and you get little tidbits here and there as you talk to them. As everybody's walking around the halls out here, it's really good. It's a place where you can get a lot of stuff. You can get a lot of stuff done. The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, I saw this morning, Clark Hunt, mm-hmm. and I was with those guys when Andy Reid signed his contract in Philadelphia at the private airport, Atlantic Aviation. I wasn't in the meeting.
You got to say you were. Take credit for it. Tell him to hire Andy Reid.
So, hey, listen, they got the best coach in football.
Well, he's an incredible coach. Yeah, he is.
It wasn't a bad thing. So, yeah, you guys, you just keep on going on your Joel Embiid thing. And my son is just bad parenting. Man,
someone's got to be blamed, Howard. We'll blame you for it.
Dope.
Oh, my God. I thought I did a better job. But, so, you know, I got to play. Hey, you got to take ownership.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
It was bad parenting.
All on you. Howard, stay out of trouble out there, all right?
Well,
have a good one.
Hard to do. Hey, that's hard to stay out of trouble out here.
I'm sure it is.
I'll try to do that.
All right, Howard. We'll talk soon. There he goes. Howard Eskin. The dope of dopes giving us his take. So I thought it was interesting, though. He thinks Joel's going to win the MVP. I'm surprised. Well,
that's a good thing.
We got hopefully, him to say it.
Hopefully this will catapult him out of the second round of the playoffs.
Or it's the big jinx. It's over now.
No, I don't think it's a jinx. I'm being positive.
It's all just a setup for him to say, yeah, oh, he's going to win the MVP.
No, I think he gets recharged, rejuvenated, and he reaches the playoffs. He reaches the postseason. He's a different guy.
What I find funny about now that Howard has conceded that he's going to win the MVP, it's the award is not – the award itself is now nonsensical.
Yeah, he'll win it, but who, like, what's that? What is the – didn't he say that? Like, what is even the MVP?
Yeah, what even is MVP anymore?
All right, Howard's given us some information from out in Phoenix. Talk to him again later this week. Mad Mike, King of Prussia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good,
what's
Mike.
What's going on, man?
So, Joel Embiid's just a fraud. Like, he's a guy that's got all the talent in the world, but all he cares about is his stupid self and, like, his dumb trophy. I guarantee you he'll be, like, a guy that's, like, been chasing after a girl and he finally gets her, and then you're like, ah, that's good enough. And he's just he's gonna just slack off in the playoffs. Like, he's just I can't stand him. I can't. He has no drive or any, or like, basketball is just something that he fell into because he's 7'2", and it's not like his life depends on it.
Yeah, I do feel there's a difference, Michael. You watched Kobe, Garnett back in the day. I mean, they live it. They live it.
They were driven. This guy would be content to just drink pitchers of whatever that soda with, like, grenadine.
Shirley Temples.
And just, like, sit there and play FIFA. And he doesn't care about working or basketball. He just wants his stupid accolades and his money. Like, we always get these kind of guys. Like, Allen Iverson, everybody loved Allen Iverson because he was a warrior on the court. Didn't practice, didn't care, didn't put any effort in.
He really didn't have to practice, though.
God-given talent, guys.
He was still a beast, though. Allen Iverson is a Hall of Famer.
We talking about practice.
He's a loser of a Hall of Famer.
He's a loser. He carried the Sixers to the playoffs. Come on, man.
You know what?
You know, I was with you until you just start, like, out and out, like, hating on people. Like, then it got weird.
No, I hate people that have all the talent but none of the motivation. And that's what Allen Iverson has, and that's what Embiid has. It's just all this God-given talent and no motivation to do anything with it. It's annoying.
Mike, we appreciate it. And Mike's critical of Joel, obviously. I don't think he has no motivation. I just don't know if
that was haterish.
Yeah.
A little haterish.
Obviously,
that was a lot haterish.
Obviously, Joel's worked his way from being a raw prospect 9 years ago to an MVP candidate, right? Like, he's become a great player in the NBA. But I question the mentality with Joel. Not physically, he's got it. He's got enough.
Yeah.
It's the mentality.
And the whole AI thing, come on, dog.
No. Well, we can say what we want about Mad Mike, but we can't rule out Mad Mike as a factor of Joel Embiid's source of motivation just a few years ago. Joel Embiid was retweeting clips, Hugh. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Joel Embiid himself was retweeting clips from Joe Giglio's evening show. Mm-hmm. It was a phone call from Mad Mike, who we just heard, ripping Joel Embiid, calling him fat, lazy.
I believe the lead quote was, get this
get
bum
this
out of
bum
my city.
Out of my city. And Joel Embiid's like, I hear that. Joel Embiid hears this stuff. So
well, that's part of the
maybe
problem.
Maybe it's another kick in the ass for him.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe.
That was a little bit, Mad Mike was just, that was just a little bit too much over the top.
How do you think you get the name Mad Mike?
Or Hater Mike. It should be Hater Mike. That's what it should be. Because that was a lot of hate. That was a lot of hate in that phone call, Mike.
Let's talk to Howard in Pottstown. What's up, Howard?
Hey, how you doing today?
What's going on,
Howard? What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I love you guys, but just give me a chance, okay?
Okay.
First of all, you know, Hugh, thank you for all you gave. You always gave 110%. Appreciate it.
But?
Second of all, it's kind of hard because Embiid is entertainment. I enjoy sitting in them seats. I'm a season ticket holder. I enjoy sitting in the seats. I see him get better and better each year. You know, and then you had your cohort talking about everybody can score points. I thought the NBA, you win championships by who scores the most points in the end, correct?
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously you have to outscore the team. Yeah, yes.
Okay, and then to say that he only gets 10 rebounds because he's 7 foot. I mean, it's the same guy who was riding a bike next to me and crashed into a curb, and now you're
Howard, hold on. I mean, one guy is a talk show host, and one guy's an NBA player, right? Like, there's a difference.
It got personal, didn't it? It got personal.
It did. Well, but the thing is, you got to think about it now. We've all rode bikes. I'm saying you're critiquing the guy like you're Mr. Know-It-All. I mean, Joe Embiid and my expectation, he's one of the best talents you ever had. I mean, Charles Barkley came to practice having hot dogs and Slurpees, and for God's sake. You know,
well, he wasn't a championship player either, Howard. He was too invested in nonsense when he was a player. I mean,
he didn't win, but Joel is still playing, correct?
He is, yes.
Now, are we saying that he possibly can't win? And how about when he gets triple teamed? Isn't other guys, it is still team sport, last I checked.
Sure it is, but we judge the great players on championships. That's the way the NBA works.
Sure we do, but I'm saying he is still playing, correct? And a lot of people, I know we're living in the world today where people still have issues with certain people, and it has nothing to do with basketball. For the gentleman to talk about Allen Iverson, come on, man.
Yeah, right. That's hate. You're talking about hater, Mike. Yeah, hate. Mike was hate.
Yeah, but he's an equal opportunistic hater.
He hates
everyone.
He hates black, white, everybody.
He hates Brandon Graham. I mean, Brandon Graham's the most likable Eagle over the last, like, I don't know, a long time. He doesn't like him either. Let's talk to Mark at Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
Joe, how are you?
Good, Mark. How you been, buddy?
Yeah, here's the bottom line. Hugh, good to talk to you as well.
What's going on, man?
I've called you before, Joe, about Joel Embiid, and I cannot avoid this topic. And I think a caller you had, not the one you just had, but the one before that was off base, saying Embiid's not motivated, he don't work hard. He works hard. You know, and he's trying to, you know, do well with his craft. But here's the bottom line. There's always an excuse.
Every year.
I go back to that Raptors series. They're up 2-1. He's flying around on a Friday night like an airplane after a big win. Sunday game rolls around. He has an upper respiratory infection. And he gets on. They've been pumping me up with IVs all morning. We don't want to hear that. Okay? And you know what happened the rest. They lost that game. They could have went up 3-1. They ended up losing the series in 7. And he was a shell of a player. Maybe he was really sick. Okay, whatever. You're not working in an office setting where you can take a sick day here or there. All right? You're making millions of dollars. We are not asking you. We want a championship, but we want you to get by the second round.
Yeah, it's not a lot to ask, Mark. You're right. You and I have been aligned on this. And sometimes, and Mark, buddy, appreciate you. I'm glad to hear from you. Mark's a good caller. We talked about it earlier. You mentioned nutrition, right? Nutritionist, diet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you keep getting sick, and look, sometimes things happen, right? People get sick. You get a cold, a virus, whatever. But if you if your body's not responding, maybe you got to change the way you eat and sleep and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is, man. It's like at some point, you have to look within, because nobody's going to feel sorry for you. And I think that's the thing that I'm trying to relay to everybody, is that as a former professional athlete, the one thing that I understood and knew for a fact, nobody cares about, you know, me and my personal life and what's going on at home that's keeping me from going out there and doing my job. Nobody cares if I didn't get enough sleep last night. Nobody cares if the baby was crying. You have a job to do. You have to go get it done. By hook or by crook, you have to get the job done.
That is the way it works. Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Self.
Rockin' K.
We must be in good graces with Self.
I know. He's with us today.
I told y'all a couple weeks ago I call y'all Lock and Key because y'all locked this station down, and y'all are the key to this radio show.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hands down. I can't even listen to the other shows. I'm going to keep it 100 with you.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you.
Let's get to it. Hell no, Embiid ain't no championship player. First of all, you got to win a championship to be a championship player. Let's start there, right? Now, I'm going to give you two comparisons to this team. The 83 Sixers and Iverson team. I told y'all a week ago or so that I'm not an Iverson fan. Mm-hmm. He was a running gunner. He couldn't make the team better. The difference between that 83 championship team, Iverson team, and this Embiid team, Doc was a leader. Cheeks was a floor general. Iverson was an influencer. He wasn't a leader. He was a running, gunner, selfish influencer. And that is what Embiid is, yo. He's not even an influencer, though. I told y'all, he is what the product of a Shaq and Iverson baby if they can make a baby.
That is a good comp.
A baby and a selfish gunner, right? He can't make his team better. And Harden, he's no floor general. These are selfish dudes, and we're in a society now where dudes is born out the womb soft.
But you know I will say,
real talk, he's born out the womb soft.
I will say this about Iverson self. The team that they put around him, they put that team around him so that he could go out there and run and gun.
It wasn't like he wasn't taking shots from other people.
You know
on
what
that
I'm saying?
Team.
Like he was the offense.
Yeah.
I gotta disagree with y'all. That team was nice. It was a team that you unexpected. You had Nick Anderson, you had Theo Ratliff, you had players on that team. Don't do that. Those dudes were not trash. They were better than Andrew Tony.
I didn't say. I didn't say. I didn't say. I didn't say they were trash. I didn't say trash.
Seth, we appreciate you.
I said that they were put around him though, so that Allen could do his thing.
Yeah, I'll say it. He dragged him to the finals.
He did drag him.
He dragged those guys to the finals.
I remember that year. Well, I wish I could tell y'all some stories. No, man, I'm going.
We'll start tomorrow with some stories. All right, we got to hand it over to Mark Cerise now. I just love that we ended the show today with self-making, and if AI and Shaq had a baby, it'd be Joel Embiid. That's a good comp. It is a good comp. All right, fun show today. We're back tomorrow.
Was it fun, Joe?
I had fun. I always have fun.
Was it really fun, Joe?
I had fun.
Felt a little hostile to me.
Well, listen, when people don't like the truth, they yell about it. All right, we're back tomorrow. Everyone enjoy Jokic and Embiid tonight. We're 3 days away from opening day as well. It's going to be a fun week here. Hugh, fun show today.
Yes, it was. Have a great day.
Mark Cerise next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.